Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And on our show, we like to talk about topics in the area, whether it be a hot topic or a new current event topic, but just things that we hear about, we see, we read a little bit about, but we maybe don't know enough about. We want to dive a little deeper to inform all the listeners. That's what we like to talk about on our show. And with us today, we have Dean Selby, the manager of the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport. We thought we would dive into the airport and talk a little bit more about specifically what goes on out there. Dean, welcome.
Thank you, Matt. I'm glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
Thank you for taking time out of your day to come out here and talk to us. You and I spoke a little bit before we got on, and of course, I told you I served on the board there for a little bit. That was before your time at the actual airport. And so I could talk about this forever. I mean, I just love this topic because I think the airport is a hidden gem that we have that people don't realize how important it is. But before we get into all that, tell me a little bit about Dean. Let me a little bit about you.
Well, I was raised in this area. I've been in White County, Cookeville, Crossville my entire life in this region.
I tell everybody it's all the same place.
It really is. It really
you know,
is.
I'm from Livingston, but I'm from here. You know, I'm from here. You know,
that's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
And I graduated in 87 from Sparta, okay. But I have been a...
I won't hold that against you, because you're from here too, right?
That's right. That's right. But I've had, in about the late 80s is when I started flying, and I got my pilot's license sometime in the 80s. And then that
did you have family in that? They kind of took you to
no,
that,
or
you just...
really. I mean, maybe they had a little bit of interest, but it was just one of my interests.
Okay, just something you wanted to get into. Yeah.
And so then I did that, and then that transitioned into me getting an airframe power plant license and et cetera, et cetera. And this was all done just as hobby type stuff.
Okay.
Nothing as a...
just going to have fun.
Yeah, just going to have fun. But what I really did was facility management, maintenance, construction, that kind of stuff is what I've done pretty much my whole life. And,
okay.
And really, I tell people running the airport, it's just another facility.
Yeah, it is.
You're just managing a facility. It's mm-hmm. It's the same steps that you would take if you're managing this building or any other building or the courthouse or the whatever you've got to manage. It's just another facility. It's just there's different rules and regulations with it.
Probably a lot more regulations.
And a lot more federal stuff to deal with.
I'm sure.
You've not only got what we refer to as the four governments,
okay.
Which is the city of Cookeville, the city of Sparta, Putnam County, and White County, which are the sponsors of the airport. They own it. Each of those four entities owns 25%.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got the four governments we have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
Plus you also have the state, TDOT Aeronautics, and the feds. So it's like, sometimes I tell people it's like, herding cats. They're all going different directions.
Yeah,
it's like,
I'm
oh
sure.
No, wait a minute. Pay attention. Look, we're right here. We're not over there now.
Probably so. All have their own certain forms for you to fill out. You know, right, if you need something exactly or you right. need to ask for something, I need this form filled out. Well, I need this form filled out. You know, I would say it could be kind of confusing. So you just had a general love of aviation, right?
And that's correct. And when this came available to where I could actually do something not only was I trained for as far as facilities, not only had I done for many years, but that involved something that I really love and enjoy and live to do.
Yeah.
Kind of,
yeah.
You know, that comes together and it's one of those where it just happens once in a while, you know,
yeah.
It's like, oh, the whole, everything just fell into place. So
good, man. That's good.
Here I am.
So where were you right before you became manager of the airport here?
I had worked for the Funderburks for 22 years, who own McDonald's, you know, all over this
yeah,
region
okay.
and area. So I was with them for a long time. Prior to that, I had worked for Averitt for several years, building service centers and facilities and had a couple of companies that I ran on the side too that we did, but all of it construction related or facilities related.
Okay. Now you've touched on something. We're meeting with Dean Selby, the airport manager at Upper Cumberland Regional Airport. You've touched on a couple things. Now I want to put them together because I think they go together. You've mentioned the four different governments. You've mentioned Averitt Express, and we're talking about the airport. Tell me a little bit about the history of the airport, because there used to be a Cookeville airport, correct? And then a Sparta airport. They were separate. Do you know a little bit about the history of how all that came together?
Well, I may not know all of it, but I can give uh-huh. a kind of a brief overview of kind of what it is. My dates might be off a year or two here, but somewhere around 1970, Sparta built an airport. Cookeville already had one.
Mm-hmm.
So Sparta built one where we are now, that's kind of remote, not in the middle of the city. Coogles, if you remember, was at the high school. So it's right downtown.
The current high school,
the
right?
The current high school. That's correct.
At the time, it was probably out a little bit, though.
Yes, it was. It was. But as Coogles grew around it, that was not expandable.
No.
There was no way, there was nowhere for them to go. So Coogles and Sparta, or Coogles and Putnam County went to Sparta and White County and said, we would like to buy part of this airport. Mm-hmm. And together they formed a regional airport. Mm-hmm. So instead of this us versus them, let's do this here and do that there, and we all want our own, they went together. And it was, to my knowledge, is one of the first real endeavors where the two different counties and cities went together and said, hey, let's do something together. Mm-hmm. And it really is it works. It spreads that out to where that not one entity has to have so much pressure on them to do everything. You've got four entities that do it.
You know, and they probably didn't realize it at the time what they had kind of started, but the regional aspect of planning and development is where it's at, especially when you're in a rural area like us. I mean, that could, I guess, be arguable that that is a precursor to the Highlands Initiative, you know, with the regionals. And if we're going to compete at certain levels, we kind of do need to all join together, that people that are from here, as I use quote fingers, right?
I would agree with that. And I never thought about it that way before, that that could have been a precursor to all of this coming together. But the reality is, yes, we have to start thinking as an area, not as a us versus them. It does not work. We can't compete against the other areas and the other industrial develop areas that are into industrial development or are seeking that industrial development if we're individuals.
Yeah.
It takes this team to bring it together. And the area has done a fantastic job of realizing that and beginning to do that as we're getting more and more industry, such as Horman Manufacturing, which is going to be right beside the airport. Mm-hmm. You got Portobello Tile. I mean, and the list goes on. Bring in Ficosi. And I mean, we Academy, could talk about this for all day. Academy. I mean, the list is as long as you want to print it, you know, of how the area is growing.
Yeah. Okay. So you touched on another thing. Boy, you're leading me right into all these questions, all right, man. You're good to have on here, man. You're talking about industry. And we're obviously talking about the airport. Why is the airport so important with all this industry coming in? What role do you and the airport play in that?
That's kind of interesting in that a lot of times, at least once a week, we will have a company, a corporation, or one of these corporate consultants that will just show up at the airport on fly their jet in. We don't half the time know who they are. Mm-hmm. We're the first thing they see of this region is when they walk in that door. That is the first thing they see. And they're here looking and kind of just out surveying the area to see what we have, how people react with them, how people talk to them, what's going on. And as we're getting more and more of these industries, you will find that one of the first questions from one of the consultants or the real estate departments, whichever route the company has gone is the airport capable of handling air traffic? And people don't realize how important that is to these companies.
Yes.
You take a factory that has a machine go down, or any other company for that matter, but if it's not a factory, name your industry. Mm-hmm. But if they have a machine go down and they need a part, if that airport's not there, they can't get parts in or parts out. And so that's critical to most of these people for their downtimes.
Yeah. And a lot of industry too. I mean, they have 2, 3, and 4 locations and they're not just right down the road. I mean, they have to fly in. Executives have to fly in and probably on a pretty regular basis. And to fly to a Nashville and Knoxville, rent a car, get a car service or something, it just doesn't make as much sense, does it?
It doesn't work for them. They can't make their schedules by doing that.
Right, right.
And you're right. As us becoming a regional area and competing for those larger national, multinational companies that are coming in, Horman's based overseas. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they're based out of Germany. You've got to have that ability to be able to get those people here. They don't want to go to Nashville and come up here because they've got 5 places they got to be at. Time is money.
Yes.
And they need to be able to land where they're going. And when you're dealing with multinational companies or national companies or even large regional companies, mm-hmm. they have to have that airport to be able to do their daily routes that they have to do.
Yeah. I remember when we were recruiting Academy, they actually came once and we didn't know about it. So we wanted to make sure that didn't happen. And then again, they came again on a Sunday that we did know a little bit about it. Not that we could do anything, but we just knew, you know, it made us feel good. Yeah. But okay, I'm a potential industry prospect and I touch down. And what are some of the first things they ask you about the airport? I mean, what are some of the key things that, or do they ask you much? Well,
many of the things they're looking at, they already have known. They've already done the research. They don't know that we've got 6,700-foot, 100-foot wide runways with instrument landing systems and good GPS approaches and heavy asphalt, which is important to some of them. This airport, and many people don't know this, I like to use a statistic. We are 200 feet longer than the longest runway at Chicago Midway.
No.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
That's an interesting statistic.
I don't know why I would know that, but I mean, I didn't know that. That's pretty crazy. So it can land, you know, big jets.
We can take some large stuff. We can take some very large stuff.
So is there anything that we couldn't land?
I mean, obviously there is. I mean, we have different weight curves for different aircraft, just like they would or any airport does. Mm-hmm. Our maximum landing weight is about 400,000 pounds.
Okay, so it's mostly weight. Weight bearing is what's restrictive.
And the configuration of the aircraft, different aircraft have different weight availabilities on the airport, but we can take a 737, 757 if it's not real heavy without a problem.
Okay.
We've not had one of those yet, but it's designed for that because they thought ahead.
Everybody's
been thinking, what's the future? Where are we going? What's happening?
Yeah.
We do have a regular DC-9 that's in there quite a bit now.
Is there, here's one thing I kind of thought about. Of course, we have the one runway. Is there space or availability, or I know there's not a need now, but thinking down the road for a second runway or across them somehow, or?
I don't know.
Or is that just too far down the road?
That's down the road. It's not in our 10-year plan as of right now. So then looking beyond that, who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of 10-year plans, I said back when I was serving on that board from 2010 to 14 that I foresee a point in time in my life where we have a commercial flight coming in and out of the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport, a regular commercial flight. I just feel like that's going to happen because, I mean, we've got so many other things going on and so many people are trying to get out of the congestion. Nashville, Knoxville's not terrible. Their airport's not terrible, but the traffic around it is. Trying to get away from I'm trying to figure out ways to get away from that congestion myself, and I don't fly a whole lot.
Well, me too. I mean, I would love to see that too. And I think it's not outside the realm of possibility that that's going to happen at some point soon. We don't have anything on paper or anything that we know right now is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I can say that, but there is a good possibility that at some point in the not real, real far distant future that could be happening.
Well, good. I'm glad to know I'm not crazy then. We're speaking with Dean Selby, the manager of the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport, and we'll talk more general aviation and flight when we come back to Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Matt Swallows. And with us on our show today, we have the Upper Cumberland Regional Airport Manager, Dean Selby. In the first section of the show, we actually talked a lot about the history of the airport and about the role it takes in recruiting industry and industry coming in to look at the area. But what other roles does the airport have? It's not just for industry big planes to come in, because that doesn't happen every single day, does it?
No, it doesn't. Actually, although right now our average is 4 jet operations per day.
Really?
Which is up from 2 years ago was about one jet operation per day that we averaged. We're at four now, average operations daily.
And I'm sorry.
Just counting jets.
Yeah. Okay. And I didn't mean to cut you off, but I also remember some of the busiest times that the airport had was at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Bowl, because a lot of the jets would be flying in college coaches and recruiters to watch the football games. I remember that being years ago being a very busy weekend.
It still is a pretty busy weekend, yeah. But we have weekends that are equivalent to what that was, our weekdays now, on a regular basis.
Wow.
And we've gone after those guys trying to get them to stop here and come to this area and stop here for fuel and for
It's easy overnight. In and out, isn't
it's
it?
It's easy in and out. They can... We got great motels. We got great restaurants. We got all of this to offer. We'll have people stop sometimes just to go do the waterfall tours.
I don't doubt it.
And it's incredible. But that's just one aspect. You asked me what else does the airport mm-hmm. do? And I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, sorry, you're fine. Did.
But what else the airport does? Obviously, we have general aviation, which is the guy that's just out there flying. We have medical. Erlanger's based there, and we have a lot of transports that come through on Learjets and Pilatuses that are flying people cross country for special medical transports, and we're okay. right in the center of the U.S., so they can't make that stop from Florida to Detroit nonstop. So they stop here for fuel because we can turn them around pretty quick. Then you got military. We get quite a bit of military traffic through here, not like every day, but we do get quite a bit of military.
Mm-hmm.
And the general aviation guys, some people have this perception that an airport is there for this guy who owns this big expensive airplane to go out there and just play on the weekends.
Yeah,
that's what
yeah.
we're paying for it for. What they don't realize is that that guy is not the primary reason that airport's there. It's great that he's there because he offsets the cost of what it would cost to operate that airport anyway. Because
mm-hmm.
it has to be there for the business reason, the military, the police. Putnam County Sheriff's Department has a helicopter base there now.
Mm-hmm.
THP is in there quite regular. The governor flies in and out of there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be there irregardless. But this guy just uses it. It's there. He uses it. And then in return, he pays hangar rent. He buys fuel. He pays taxes on that airplane that come back and support that airport. And in turn, keep the taxpayers from having to pay for 100% of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It offsets it to the point of where that ideally at some point it could be a complete offset.
Yeah, yeah.
If we can grow to that point to where that they're paying for everything.
Yeah, self-sustaining airport.
Self-sustaining.
Basically. Yeah.
And it's theoretically possible at some point to get there. As we're growing, we're getting closer and closer to that. But there's still that need to support that infrastructure. That road that airport is a county road that is an exit off of the interstate, which is the airways, the national airspace system.
Yeah.
And without that, people can't reach this area.
Dean, I've never, ever heard it put that way. But that makes a lot of sense. Can I use that from now on?
Yes, you can.
Okay, I'll give you credit for it too. I'll give you credit for it.
I'm not sure if I was the first one that said that.
So. Well, let's talk. You mentioned the weekend folks, the general aviation. Let's talk a little bit about general aviation and hangar space, training. Can you take lessons? Just a little bit about general aviation and I hate to say it, in general.
All right. Currently, on the last census we did, which is it's due to be done again now of aircraft on the field, we got 92 aircraft based there now, which that's a pretty substantial amount of airplanes.
Mm-hmm.
Hangar space, we have probably 50 people on a waiting list wanting to move that we don't have space to put them.
Really?
Now,
is that something that if you have a waiting list, I mean, could you potentially just go build it? And then since they're waiting, I mean, would it make business fiscal sense to do that?
It's possible. It becomes so much more expensive to build on the airport than it does to build, say, a storage unit out here on the side of the road mm-hmm. somewhere, you know, that there are a lot of hoops to that. There's a lot of regulatory concerns and planning that goes into it. So yes, it's possible. And the last hangar extension that we did, T-hangar extension that was done with airport dollars that was generated from rent, hangar rent.
Mm-hmm.
And it just takes a while to build that up to be able to do that.
So even if you had the funds readily available, it's still a lot of hoops
it's still a long
to
process.
Even get that done, right?
Yes. And it's not that it can't be done. It's just, it's a long process, longer than what I realized when I started this.
Oh, really?
This position. It takes, there's more regulatory hurdles to overcome. And you've been in government before. Part of it is government. Part of it is regulation. Part of it is just protection, protecting the airport, protecting the flying public and the non-flying public from doing something that's going to endanger someone.
So is there anything in the works now to looking at either expanding onto the current hangars or building a new hangar?
T hangars, no. However, we just were awarded an economic grant for Aaron Tippin. He's been wanting to build to start a warbird business, warbird restoration business.
Okay.
There's only a couple of people in the country who do this, and it's becoming a lucrative type thing. There's no one with the experience. He has the experience, and his family has the experience. And right now he's operating out of what we refer to as Hangar 2, which is one of our large hangars there, on his stuff, but he's not really doing the business side of it yet because he didn't have anywhere to go. So we went after this aeronautics economic development grant, which will allow us to build a hangar that becomes the property of the airport. He gets to lease it for 20 years, 10 years, 20 years. We're still working out the detail on the lease, but just for him to start a business of doing this. And he's already poised to do it. They're already doing it to an extent now, except now we can do it as a business and bring the tax dollars here.
So how would that work? So someone that, you know, wants to buy an old war plane, maybe their grandfather flew those, you know, World War II, something, whatever the scenario is, but it's run down. They would somehow, I don't know if you could fly it here if it's run down, but get it here. He would work on it. They would work on it, restore it to where it could fly, right? Is that kind of the thing?
Correct. Yeah. They would bring in just like restoring an old car.
Mm-hmm.
You're just restoring an old airplane. Now, it's probably a little more expensive than some of the old cars, but probably. At the same time, some of the P-51s, for instance, when they're restored, I've seen them in the multi-million dollar range. The parts are expensive. Mm-hmm. Those high dollar parts equates to tax dollars to this area. Now people are going to Florida. People from this state are taking their aircraft to Florida and Alabama that are in that particular niche are going there to get this work done and paying taxes there. Why not bring those people here and bring people from the other states in here?
So this is just another revenue generator for the airport, for the whole area,
not
right?
Not as much for the airport as it is for the area, for the region.
Huh. I guess I didn't realize there's that much of a market for that. Of course, I'm not, you know, I don't have an old warbird in my backyard, so I don't know, but that's pretty neat. That's pretty neat, though, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, did he have to jump through some hoops to get his certification to do these things? I mean, I know there's a lot of regulation when it comes to aircraft.
Anyone who knows Aaron and his family knows that him and his sons all have pilot's license and airframe and power plant mechanics license and all of the different certifications that go along with that and has had for years. And I would trust him to this day. With any aircraft I got, I'd pull over and say, hey, whatever you need to do. And I know it's good, you know, when he's done with it.
You know, I mean, I've known for years he's a big avid flyer. I've known that. I've seen him out there several times, talked to him a time or two. But, this is new to me. I didn't know he worked on them, and that was also his passion. Yeah. And his sons are in it.
One son sings with him some, and sings some. So I'm not sure how much he still is a pilot and and is into aviation. But the other son is just completely invested in it. I mean, that is his thing.
That's his thing.
Aviation maintenance.
Wow. So pretty cool things going on.
Oh, and the rest of their family too. Not just the two of them. There's other people in their family that are big into aviation. So
I see this now. The next reality TV show is the Tippin Aviation.
Wow, that's a good idea.
There you go. And that could be headquartered right here at Upper Cumberland Regional Airport, right? Now, that would be enough to get us a regular commercial flight in.
There you go. Are you hosting it?
No. I'll watch it, though. How about that?
All right.
When I can't, I'll DVR it. That would be fun. So what else is new or what else is on the horizon for the airport in the next, I think you mentioned a 10-year plan. What's on that plan?
There are projects that are going on continuously, as you know, being involved in that. We should have the grant paperwork back here pretty soon to do our 10-year renewal of our 10-year plan. That's done in 10 years, called an ALP, an airport layout plan. Fantastic people in Nashville who
Nice.
Who help with that.
That's actually a good parting shot right there. Dean, our time's up. Dean Selby, Upper Cumberland Regional Airport Manager, has been with us today. Dean, thank you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
And I can tell it really is your passion. And so I enjoy seeing someone working at their passion. That's a pretty cool thing to see. So thanks for what you do, and thanks for joining Local Matters.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Local Matters. Until next time.